We're looking at the tabernacle and going through the various instruments there to find the spiritual truth that is in that particular object in the Old Testament history. Last time I was here, we looked at the great altar of sacrifice. The second object on the way to the door of the tabernacle is the laver of cleansing. And that is what we are considering today. In Exodus chapter 30, you will drop down to verse 17. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass or bronze, his foot also of brass, to wash withal. Thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not, or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to them, him and his seed, throughout their generations. All right, this paragraph tells us very plainly that cleansing is an absolute necessity in our relationship with God. Unfortunately, most people do not get too concerned about dirt. Oh, I'm not saying they don't take a bath. They're not too concerned about spiritual dirt. Not too concerned about corruption in the world. But God is. And yes, the laver was an instrument by which the priests could cleanse their hands after the sacrifice of the animals, and I'm sure that was necessary. But the important thing about that laver is it was a symbol of spiritual cleansing. Cleansing of the heart, which is something vitally important and most people do not consider. Now, what strikes me in the paragraph is the statement that if they do not cleanse their hands, they'll die. Now, that tells us that cleansing is not merely a pleasant option. It is an absolute necessity when dealing with God. Why? Because God is absolutely holy. He cannot be touched with uncleanness in any variety. He is completely pure. When we come to God, we come, I'm afraid, with dirty hands, defiled hands, and we ask for cleansing. But we have to realize that is not just an option that we choose there. It is an absolute necessity. If we have any relationship with God, He has to cleanse us. There are no alternatives to that, because if we are not cleansed, He has nothing to do with us, because He is holy, absolutely separated from all sin and evil. The privilege that He gives us of approaching Him is a precious privilege that we should value very highly. But one of the steps along that pathway toward God is cleansing. It is not merely a pleasant option. It's a must. Now, it is interesting that later on, in 1 Kings chapter 7, the temple was being constructed. And in that context, God commanded them to make a molten sea, a great basin for water, 10 cubits across, 15 feet in diameter. And there were 10 lavers of bronze made, 1 Kings 7:38. Now that tells us that the temple was a much larger structure, many more important things going on there, lots of sacrifices being made, and hence it was not just one laver of cleansing, it was 10 of them, so that good many people could be received simultaneously. And of course, King Hiram made all that bronze work for King Solomon. He was a very skilled individual who had master craftsmen, and the temple was a beautiful thing. But we need to ponder in our hearts, what does this cleansing really imply? And I want us to turn to Psalm 23. David expresses something that's very important to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, we think of the waters as something that is refreshing, something that we would love to drink, the sparkling brook that is there. But he goes on to say, he restoreth my soul. Yes, the waters are there not merely to refresh us, which they are, but to cleanse us, to restore us. Now, how do we know all this? Because in Psalm 24, the very next one in this trilogy, he says something striking. Verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? And he gives the answer. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. All right, who can approach God? Who can ascend to the hill of the Lord? There's only one kind of person, one who is cleansed. That again repeats exactly what is in the ceremonies of the tabernacle. To approach God is to approach absolute holiness. To approach Him means that we must be cleansed. The washing of water by the Word must be applied to our hearts, so that we can stand before God without judgment falling upon us. If God were unclean, it wouldn't matter, but then we would be afraid to approach Him. But He is absolutely pure. He is holy beyond words, and so when we come, we must realize this, that we are entering the presence of a holy God, one who is clean, who insists on that cleanliness in His people. Not just physical cleanliness, but a pure heart. And that's where the problem comes, because our hearts are not pure naturally. We have a sinful heart inside of us. And we need to recognize that we need supernatural cleansing from God to change that heart, to make it a pure heart before God. That is not an accident. It is an act of God, or it doesn't exist. Now, it's significant when he says clean hands and a pure heart. He goes on to say he has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. The impure heart leads to impure actions, impure words. The life is defiled because inside the heart is defiled. Now, it's interesting that David not merely tells us about this, but in Psalm 51, he expresses his own need for this. In Psalm 51, he prays, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, my sin is ever before me." Yes, he had that heart need of internal cleansing from God. He knew his heart needed to be washed from sin, and he prays that God will do this. Dropping down to verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." That's what he's thinking of, that God cleanse him, that God make him what he ought to be, which he cannot do by himself. All of us, friends, are in this category. We can't cleanse our own hearts. We can't make ourselves righteous before God. Either the Lord must do it, or we remain stained, sinful, and unclean, unable to approach God. Our songs of praise unacceptable because the heart is not right with God. Now, this tells us that it is an absolute necessity to get right with God. And so, verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He prays that God, by His own action, change him inside to a heart that is clean. Only God can do this. Self-reformation doesn't last. We have good intentions and forget about them. We walk a nice pathway for a little while and collapse. But only God can change the heart within. Now, it's significant also that in Psalms 19:12, David says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." And that adds another dimension to this. There are many things we are unconscious of. Someone may say, "Well, you know, I don't feel dirty." Well, that doesn't make any difference. According to Scripture, the dirt, spiritually speaking, is still there. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Things that we are unaware of. Things that offend God and we don't even know it. We do enough things that we know offend Him. But to think of all the categories that we're unconscious of, unmindful that we are offending God. David warns us, all of them are being charged against us. In Psalm 73:1, God is good to those with a clean heart. Yes, He pours out His grace and mercy on those who are cleansed. But He can't do that upon those who are stained in sin, because that would be approval of what is wrong. And God can't do that. So it is not a works salvation that we're engaged in. It is instead a gracious one. We can't save ourselves. God is ready to do it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to come to Him. We must be aware of our filth, spiritually speaking, aware of our need of cleansing, aware that only God can deal with the kind of problems we have. And God is ready to do that. In Psalm 99:9, "Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." Yes, absolutely unstained by sin. Holy in the most exalted sense of that term. In Psalm 119:9, the psalmist asks the question, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." All right, it's the word of God that makes us conscious of our stains and sins. We become conscious of God's mercy. His desire to provide grace and cleansing upon His people comes from the knowledge of the Word. Even as we go through Scripture like this, quoting what God's Word has said, we become aware that God cares for us, that God wishes to cleanse us, wishes to make us the kind of person He can fellowship with, that we can enter into a solemn, continuing worship and responsibility before God. God is prepared to do this, but we must do it by coming to the Word, recognizing our need, and asking God to do something about it, because we cannot. There's no way that we can cleanse ourselves. The filth is spiritual, and it's permanent unless God changes us. Now, the New Testament has a great deal to say about this same thing. If you will turn to John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus in the upper room is speaking to the disciples. And He makes clear in chapter 15 that He is the sole source of help that we have. He begins the chapter by saying, "I am the true vine." He is the source of all strength and health and cleansing and benefit to us. Without Him, we have no hope. But look at verse 3. He speaks to His disciples and He says, "Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." All right, that tells us His word cleanses. His word creates within us that cleansing power that changes our stained hearts into hearts of purity. We can't do it, but He can do it. And He speaks to these disciples who were sinners just as we are, and says, now you are clean through the Word. Faith in the Word of God transforms. Faith in the Word of God cleanses away sin. The promises are there. We must claim them and act upon them. And if we do, we become clean. Now, a second thing is involved there. Verse 4 tells us. The Lord says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. When we are cleansed from our sins by the Lord, it doesn't mean that we've suddenly become a perfect person. We all know that we are very able to stumble again, very able to fall into the hog wallow again. It's easy, because we are by nature sinful creatures. But God does cleanse away the sin. And the secret of the Christian walk is abiding in Christ, dwelling in His presence, constantly talking to the Lord, constantly reading His Word, or quoting it to yourself, thinking about it in odd moments, letting that Word permeate your life and the thinking processes that you have. That abiding in Christ is the secret of continuing cleansing. In John 13 and verse 8, the disciples literally had their feet washed by the Lord Jesus. And Peter was rather distressed over that. He felt it was not appropriate for the master to wash the students' feet. It should be the other way around. He wasn't volunteering, however. And in verse 7, the Lord says, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter says, thou shalt never wash my feet. It's just not appropriate. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Peter absorbs that one and says, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He knew he had need of cleansing. He didn't think it was appropriate somehow, but only the Lord could do that. And so he says, yes, he needs a bath. He was a convicted sinner indeed. And the Lord says in verse 10, he that is washed, the word is bathed, washed completely, needeth not save to wash his feet, wash the extremities, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. And so, the Lord Jesus' word had cleansed the disciples. They were right with Him, but there was still constant need of daily cleansing in order to continue abiding in His presence. Because as we live in this wicked world, we're surrounded with dirt. Thanks to modern media, we're continually surrounded with wicked advertisements and cursing and vile language and vicious actions, and TV floods our homes with these things. The billboards, magazines, it's all thrust upon us constantly. We have constant need for daily cleansing, that the Lord may wash out of our lives the influence of the world and the sinful surroundings we must live in here, that His presence might be a benediction of cleansing power constantly in our lives. Now, Paul has something to say about this. If you will turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, here is an exhortation in full understanding of human nature. And it is interesting that in the preceding paragraph, he talks about the need for separation from the world, separation from evil, because it stains, it defiles. And so here, he is stressing having promises of deliverance, having the promises, the word of the Lord, that He will cleanse those who come. Then let us cleanse ourselves. from all of it, not just part of it. We need to be wholly clean from these things. Most people are content with a little bit of cleansing. They think of a grievous sin and ask the Lord to get rid of that. They don't think in terms of many sins and all kinds of failures and shortcomings. But we need to think that way. There are many ways in which we displease the Lord, have need of cleansing. And so, having therefore these promises, let us claim the promises. Let us stand upon them, that God's grace may cleanse us from sin and make us what we should be. All filthiness of flesh and spirit. Let Him deal with all of it, perfecting holiness in reverence toward God. God wants us perfect. You say, well, we're not. Now, I certainly agree. We're not. That's correct. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't desire it. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't long for that perfection that one day will be ours. We, I'm afraid, are all too content to live at a low level, stumbling along through the dirt and the debris of this world, and not as distressed about those circumstances as we ought to be. But here, perfecting holiness is not something we just do for once and for all, and it's done. It's something that we constantly aim at, constantly continue making progress toward, perfecting holiness. Why? Because God is holy, absolutely holy. And as we walk His pathway, it should be with the consciousness that we are every day being cleansed, every day walking toward God, every day approaching the light, every day seeking a new purification, a closer walk with God, progress in the spiritual life. This should be our heart's desire. And always there must be daily cleansing to accomplish that. Perfecting holiness. It's a daily task. Every day we draw near to God in prayer and ask for forgiveness and cleansing. Every day we turn to the Scriptures and read these passages, reading these things about cleansing and perfection and such. Every day the Word works on us, conforming us to the image of the Lord Jesus in Scripture, which is perfection. And we haven't arrived there. We have a long way to go yet. But there should be daily progress. Now, friends, what happens when you don't read the Bible? When you don't pray that day? Well, you know what happens when you fail to get cleaned physically. After a little while, everybody knows. Well, spiritually speaking, it works that same way. You may not be conscious of it, but if you start skipping your devotions, you start skipping reading the Bible, skipping prayer to God, pretty soon everybody is going to know. Now, friends, we've got to take this seriously. This is something that we must reckon on daily, every day. We need the cleansing power of the Word. Every day we need to approach God with clean hands and a pure heart, worshiping Him in holiness. Every day we need that cleansing that makes us what we ought to be that day. And the idea of coming to church on Sunday and getting a spiritual bath and going home to live the rest of the week, please don't try that. Every day we need this blessed book. Every day we need to approach God. Ask for spiritual help, cleansing, progress along the Christian pathway. When we forget, everybody knows. In James chapter 4, James urges, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Present tense verbs. Continue cleansing. Continue purifying. We shouldn't be double-minded. We should be on God's side. We should be seeking His cleansing, seeking to live for Him. But unfortunately, we find ourselves torn betwixt and between. In Ephesians 5:25, Paul says Christ gave himself for the church that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's what we need every day. The washing of water by the word. That he might wash away from us the defilement of this wicked world. Our own sinful inclinations. That wicked heart that keeps rearing its head within us and provoking us to go in the wrong direction. But then, there is 1 John. In 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." There is a tremendous promise for us all. If we walk in the light, consciously, every day, opening up the Scriptures, letting the light of the Word shine upon our pathway, consciously asking the Lord for those clean hands and a pure heart that only He can give us, constantly seeking the cleansing power of the blood of Christ through these Holy Scriptures, we have fellowship with one another. What's happened? Our relationship with everybody improves. We get along better with others. Why? Because we're right with God and our heart is in tune. But then the blood of Jesus Christ is constantly cleansing us. It's a process that doesn't have to stop. We can desire it all the time. We can't always read the Bible. We can't always be engaged in prayer. We can always experience His blessed presence and the cleansing power of His blood. In verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Not just a certain part, every bit of it. He wants it all under the blood. Every bit of it cleansed, purified, that He may have full fellowship with His people. And a warning in verse 10. "If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." He says we're sinners. And yes, some of us are regenerated sinners. We've been washed in the blood, but we can sin easily too. We have that daily need also. Some may be unregenerate sinners, facing the penalty for a life of sin. God help you to get right. The conclusion of this message is there something on your conscience that you're aware of that is a stain, a blot that needs cleansing? Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, if you are aware of something that needs the cleansing blood, would you ask the Lord Jesus for it? Would you in this quiet moment ask Him to blot out that stain, to wash clean the heart that needs it by His grace and the power of His blood? Oh Lord, we are sinful people. We need Thy cleansing power. We need the power of the blood in our lives. Help us, Lord, that we may seek Thy face and desire that cleansing and daily look to Thee in the Word and in prayer, that we might have that daily fellowship with Thee. We pray now for those in this congregation who have something that needs to be put under the blood. Lord, hear their prayer as they ask Thee for cleansing and forgiveness. Blot out the iniquity. Restore the fellowship. And help us, Lord, everyone, that we may walk with Thee day by day, seeking Thy cleansing power, seeking a closer walk with Thee. We ask for sustaining grace. We ask for special blessing in the Word. We ask for a special sense of Thy presence in prayer. Help us, Lord, day by day, that we may walk that pathway, perfecting holiness in reverence toward Thee as we travel homeward. Hear us, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.